It is good to skate into the house of the Lord. One more time. I'm grateful to acknowledge the presence of my brother and my two sisters and their life companions. How good to have you here. And many others I've seen as I came in. I had a note from the executive presbyter of New York City. I am Presbyterian. Someone said to me this morning, looks like you're getting ready to go back into being a Presbyterian, wearing these black clothes. Robert Fulce Morrison, welcome, if you are able to have made it. I want to offer a prayer which is written 1,000 years ago by the King of France. Come, light serene and still, our darkened spirits fill with thy clear day. Guide of the feeble sight, star of grief's darkest night, reveal the path of light, show us the way. There is one of you who dared and double dared and maybe more that I should speak not from behind the balustrade this morning, but here. There is a vulnerability to it. I suppose that's why that was constructed, to allow the great voice of Riverside to be protected. It needs to be. Nevertheless, the sermon I prepared and the one I'll offer may differ substantially. My father, a preacher, as you know, most of you know, often said to his family that he preached first to himself. He was his first subject. A good principle, one I have listened to, others will judge. It means, among other things, that the themes that recur for me are certainly things I need to hear. And that is so true of the theme today. There is something we need to get right before we die, lest it make a mess of our days from here to that last, or make the last days severe. And someone who's attended a funeral where people were filled with intense admiration and love for the deceased and their memories flow might think, well, the thing we need to do before we die is behave in a way that will get people to respond to our life like that. And while that's a lovely aim, I can't think it is a universal aim. It would slip by the majority of us by far. There's something far more fundamental needed for our existence. It is this, that we get clear about all that is undone. Or put it a little differently, we get clear that all things are undone. That there is no completion at all. Oh yes, this is related to what we call our sinful state in the usual speech, even jargon of the church. But I'm not so minded today to go there, rather to draw to our attention what I call a passion for the partial. For all things are partial. There is no perfection. There is no attainment possible. Nothing worthy of the names doing and being is ever fully done, nor have we ever been all of that, nor shall we ever. Not on earth. To be at peace with this, is to be at peace in a manner that can give us life unto death. Now, it happens that the reason of our open-ended desire is obscured in our nature. We don't really know why we are made thus, but we are made thus. Genesis says we are made in the image of God's self, by God's self. Ecclesiastes, we just heard a fragment of it in the call to worship. God has set in our minds a sense for all past and all future eternity, says one translation, yet we cannot determine what God has done from the beginning to the end. We are an openness, yearning after more and more. If our yearning is base, we call it covetousness. We call it theft. If our yearning is high-minded, we call it transcendent. And that word, fancy as it is, has simple roots in Greek. It means to climb beyond. We are always needing, wanting to climb beyond ourselves. And so we are this vulnerable, infinite space within. Everyone is like this. Some deny it, dull it, sleep from it. But there it is, in our nature, to be yearning for more and wanting completion, completion, an end to this. When the sons of Zebedee talk to their mother, it's outside the story a little bit, but it's implied in the story that they ask their mother to go to Jesus and get on her knees and beg for him, from him a favor. You know, her timing is terrible, just terrible. If you read the prior two or three verses, there we learn that Jesus has just been talking with his disciples. He's pulled the 12 aside and said, we're going to Jerusalem. There, the Son of Man will be crucified. He will be given over to the Gentiles who will mock him, and they will crucify him. This must happen. And on the third day, he will rise. And now mom comes, next sentence, to Jesus and says, Jesus, I have a favor to ask. My two sons, I want them to have like the top, you know, the top position, oh, next to you, of course, but the top position forever. Can you settle that one for us, please, Jesus? She's looking for completion for herself through her sons. This is something we've seen versions of in ourselves, perhaps through our children or in the way we managed our lives, wanting something fixed forever. She's anxious. She's not at peace. Jesus does not address her. He seems to know that the boys have put their mom up to this. He says, are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? Now, these men are loyal servants and true, and they think that drinking the cup means suffering bodily harm for a good cause. And they say, yes, we are able. Yes, we can do that. But they don't understand. That is not what it is to drink the cup. To drink the cup, we're all going to drink the cup a little later. To drink the cup means to accept that there will be no completion there will be no fulfillment. Life's goals, the objectives, the hopes, none of them will see the light of day. To drink the cup is to accept this life as it is. To find peace inside the partial. Jesus lived in a passion for the partial. Consider the portrait of the man we have from the Gospels. He was not the finest physician ever. He was not the greatest orator ever. He did not save the most people while he lived. In fact, from the point of view of the world, he died a common criminal. Yes, that's the point of view of the world. Just a criminal deserving the punishment of the state. He let all that be. He had a passion for the partial. Now, America is not schooled in this manner, not at all. It's not our way. Maybe the whole Western world, maybe the whole world now, it all aspires to the Western ways. In 1963, Paul Tillich gave a series of lectures called The Relevance and Irrelevance of the Christian Message. There he coined a term called, he called it forwardism. Forwardism. That tendency in American life, in Western life, always to set the eye on that goal that's going to make everything perfect. It's just over there, when we do this or I do that, we're just about, we're almost there. We've got to get there. Forwardism, always the notion that salvation, yes, little s, something that we must have, is right there. And on the basis of our forwardism comes all kinds of violence from us. Everything we do, in the personal torments we suffer, in the public evils we inflict on others and they on one another, it all comes from this huge yearning desire to have a solution in time, right there. Jesus saw this in his disciples as they yearned to be on top, right there, forever. And when the other 10 found out about it, they remind me of any group of people when some learn that others think that they're on top. And oh boy, do they get angry. They're just fit to be tied. Jesus gathers them all together. And he says, the lords of these nations, they lord it over one another. The mega men. That's the word in Greek for big. The megale, it says. The mega men. You know, they take all power to themselves. But with you, it won't be like that. Perhaps he is imagining the new community that might be gathered even beyond his death. With you, it will not be like this, lording it over one another. There is another way. There is another way to go than always striving to climb up and over either our former self or other people, putting our boot on their neck. There was a way to go whose way is never barred, whose pitch is not too steep. It is the way down. For although it is certainly so that we will come to that last day when we cannot lift our leg another step higher, there is in our life an unending possibility to step down. No matter how low a creature is or has fallen, we can always choose to step down and to serve. It isn't a rule, it's not a law that you always must. It's that you always can. Always, always, always possible to choose to go down to serve. And there is freedom. In fact, it's the only exercise of our will that is genuinely free. That country is the only one deserving the name, the land of the free, where those who had a power gave it up and stepped down. Now, often there on the lowest step, we find someone who has been living there. I have been so profoundly moved and changed by the life work of my wife, Beth, who often speaks of a person of disabilities as one of mine. The people living all their lives with disabilities are already living in a passion for the partial. They already know things we have yet to learn. Yes, we are ignorant in comparison. And so often we meet them when we step down. Some of you wonder why I have so often spoken of men and women in prison and so rarely of the victims of the crimes that were committed. Perhaps it is an oversight. Perhaps it needs correction. In my passion for the partial, I will not be the one to make that correction here. But I will say that in ministry with men and women humbled by their own acts of evil, their own dalliance with powers greater than they understood, this coming to awareness of their weakness is a very blessed thing to touch, to learn from. The focus in it, so great. I have been privileged to work with men and women in prison whose focus is exactly like that. I don't make any claims about the general population, though I say without hesitation that it is an evil this nation has worked upon its black and brown people, so to have imprisoned millions and millions without attention to the racist motivations therein. But when we step down, we learn something of the walk of our Lord. And if your eye has been caught by his action, if something in the action of allowing that crucifixion to happen has caught your attention, then you are blessed to have him as your hero. For you cannot have seen the beauty of his passion for the partial unless it was already in you. Do you follow me? It has to be active in you, a gift of God for sure, but already active in you is this love for the least and the lost. Here, in a passion for the partial, is something worthy of the name salvation, and you have seen the like in many ways. You have heard it. I'm thinking of that speech whose fragment starts, "Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place." I hear some echoes around me as I say the words. These are part of our song. A person who can say, "I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now." That person has already laid hold of a passion for the partial. "I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do," you know how it sounds there on the movie, "I just want to do God's will." Forgive me, I'm not making fun, of course. God's will. Just want to do God's will. This is what we want to take from the story of the passion for the partial. It is by no means quietism. It is by no means a call to let go of any hopes for the future for those oppressed and suffering. By no means is it the quiet way of saying nothing can be done on earth. It is simply an acceptance that our flesh and our blood cannot bring about all of God's will on earth, and so we accept our own partial nature, our imperfection, by the grace of God. And those so impassioned can, like Martin Luther King, say, "I have looked over. I've been up to the mountaintop, and I have looked over, and I have seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but we, as a people, you, O Riverside, as a people, yes, you can get there, not in fullness and perfection, and as you listen and learn to call your new minister to serve here, hold in your heart a passion for the partial. Not only will you love her or him the better, but yourselves. For so often, when we lose our wits in hopes for completion, we grow angry, like those 10 disciples, angry at the two who wanted the top salary or the top position. No. If in a passion for the partial, you let be what is, you can turn all of those energies into a flame of action for those who suffer, those who need, those oppressed. You can roll your whole life underneath the wheels of this juggernaut of capitalism and do some work. Some holy work, some karmic good. Oh, fight, Arjuna, fight. But do not attach your action to the demand that you see the fruit. Oh, let it be, let it go, let it go. Accept and live with a passion for the partial. Then you can be just, like the master, just who comes not to win, but to win you for this life through a passion for the partial. Amen.